questions from the audience, I will make a couple of stipulations. Please make sure you keep your questions brief. Let's not have 5-minute questions and 30-second responses. And please keep them polite. Thank you. Let's start in the back.
Hi, Tyler. This question is for you. My name is Nathan. I was under the impression before I came to this debate that you were, in fact, an atheist. From what you just said, it sounds like you're more of a theistic evolutionist. Can you confirm that for me, please?
I confess that I'm slightly uncomfortable saying this into a microphone. I am, in fact, an atheist. Whew! That being said, I personally want to think that it is every human's right to make their own choices about faith in God and respect any choice someone else has made about the subject. I deal with them candidly, but also with great respect. So when I come to a topic, I do not come to a topic to make fun of it, but to improve the way it is understood. Does that answer your question?
First of all, I respect you coming up there. My name's Eric Miller, by the way. I respect you coming up and doing this. I have nothing but respect for you, even though you say these things. It transcends anything. But I want to preface this question with a brief statement. As not being a theist, you believe that the universe was not created. That being said, you assume the universe has infinitely existed. That being said, you assume that we have an infinite amount of time that predates us. That states infinity by definition has no beginning nor an end. Therefore, if infinity was before us, this time right now does not exist because we have not passed infinity. We have passed. I want to, that being said, and pretty much refuting that the universe has infinitely existed argument, I would like for you to state your origin of the universe outside of God and infinity.
Okay, thank you for your respect. Asking if I had the answer to why the universe existed, I certainly wouldn't be at a community college. Now, that being said, I can make a case for why the universe is the way it is without relying on God, and I will try to do so now. Our universe, as most people have not yet fully come to grasp, is space and time are actually intricately connected. This is stated by Einstein's theory. So before the universe existed, the concept of time, of infinity, of non-infinity, is moot. There is no such thing but until the universe is created. As for when the universe ends, I don't know. But we don't know how the universe is going to end yet, so jury's out. But to say that the universe needs to be caused is to say that the universe itself is not something that can just exist without cause, and we don't have any evidence to say otherwise. I mean, the universe literally could have just sprang up from emptiness. And when most of us say from nothing, we don't properly understand the term from nothing. Step back and think. What do you think about when you say nothing? Do you think of a white emptiness or a black screen? But even white and black are images that are created from our vision by a lack of or a reflection of light. Nothingness means that there is no matter. There are no galaxies. There are no stars. There are no atoms. This concept is so difficult for us as humans to believe that we have to couch it in some kind of terminology. Which is why questions like when did the universe come to exist happen, because nothing is just too baffling to ever conceive that it could have ever actually happened. It's something outside of our ability to perceive. It is, I think the term is a mysterium mystery, a question that is not just unknowable, that is unknowable with the faculties of logic we humans possess.
Hi, my name is Thomas Williamson, and this is a question for the guy in blue. What's up? I was wondering, since you said that all trust in faculties and therefore correct logic comes from a belief in God. You said that, right?
Something like that.
Okay, yes. And you're talking about the Christian God of the Bible.
Yes.
Okay, so it's accurate to say that all the progress made before Christianity came onto the scene, and when those people were just wandering around with this innate belief in God, yet not actually believing in God, they did not make any progress, and therefore all of their logic and all of their philosophy and all of that is mute. Is that correct?
No. Your question is called in logic a complex question. It's actually fallacious. In your question, you assumed that Christianity was not the true account of things. In that, you assumed that when I speak of the Christian God, I'm speaking of the Judeo-Christian God. I understand that that seems anachronistic on your view, but Christians believe in the same God who was there, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Adam and Eve, who would have been the first two people. And so that should answer your question. But you did understand my argument other than that correctly. Thanks.
Hi, it's Chris. Oh, this question's for Chris. I'm Amanda. You were talking about how we can't prove logic. So say I'm sitting in calculus, and I decide 4 squared is not 12, but rather 16. That was a sign from God, not my head figuring that out.
5 plus 7 equals 12, okay? We all know this. We're all certain of this. On Tyler's worldview, Tyler cannot, as far as I can tell, really account for the existence of the proposition 5 plus 7 equals 12. It's not something which can be measured. It's not material. It's immaterial, meaning that it's not extended in space. Furthermore, he cannot know, and you're right, that 5 plus 7 equals 12. Why? Because that's one of his beliefs that's undercut by the defeater I provided from the assumption that naturalistic evolution is true.
No, but like what I was asking, so you're saying it doesn't come from logic, but rather a sign from God.
I wouldn't call it a sign from God. The logic, the mathematics, and everything are still there, but they reflect the standard. God is the standard of those things, and they reflect the character of God.
You said earlier you couldn't prove logic.
I didn't say that I couldn't prove logic. I said that logic is inconsistent with his worldview.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, logical relations and propositions and whatnot reflect the thinking of God.
My name is Delbert Meadows, and I have a question for Chris.
Can you speak up a little?
Okay, sorry. You were talking about the appendix and your left hand and how you don't need either one. The thing is, I use my left hand. If I fall from a tree, I can use my left hand and its opposable thumb to grab a limb and prevent myself from dying. At this moment, I'm not using my appendix for anything. It's basically a sack of poison sticking off the side of my intestines, and if it explodes, I will die. I would like you to explain why we have a sack of poison that we use for absolutely nothing, when evolution can easily explain why I have a left hand with an opposable thumb.
The question assumes something which I honestly don't really know a lot about. As I said, I'm not a biologist. I do not know whether or not we have discovered if there is a purpose for the appendix. First of all, if there could be a purpose, potentially, there could be a purpose for the appendix that we do not know, and we could discover that in the future scientifically. Furthermore, what this is a defeater. We're trying to defeat the belief that God created everything. But the problem is that this defeater rests upon the assumption that our cognitive faculties are reliable. On the naturalistic evolutionary view of things, our cognitive faculties are unreliable. They're either unreliable or we don't know whether or not they're reliable. So we have an undercutter for all of our beliefs, including our beliefs about appendices.
Hi, my name is Johnny Hackett, and I had a question for Chris. Earlier, you said that the discussion of burning babies came up, and that you said that we learn through morality, through God, that is bad. Okay, not through socialization of society. Now, I guess my question is to you, as you go up to the podium, did you choose to wear nice clothes and decide your day to come speak because of God, or did you choose to wear that shirt and look nice because of socialization through society? Because through socialization tells us that killing people is wrong. Such as looking nice when you're giving a presentation is wrong. So did you choose your shirt because of your divine belief in God or your socialization through society?
I chose my shirt because my cognitive faculties are reliable. Furthermore, I also chose my shirt today because of socialization. Why can't both be true? Yeah, you do learn moral values through society, but that doesn't mean that they're the correct moral values. You can't justify objective moral values on the view that you're promoting here. Nazi Germany was in the wrong. Just because society told those people to exterminate Jews does not mean that it was right.
Hi, I'm Lana Velez. I teach English here at CBCC. I want to thank you both for being here today. We're doing a section on science and religion in their argument class, and this has fit in very nicely with that. I did want to direct my question to Chris. You brought up and seemed to imply to me in your conversation that the Christian God was necessary for morality, for there to be a sense of moral responsibility among human beings. I wanted to ask you how you would address the issue of Buddhism then. Buddhists do not believe in a God, but they are incredibly moral. They believe they are morally responsible for every sentient being in the world. They are some of the most compassionate people, non-violent people. So I wondered how it fit in with this concept of needing to believe in a God for a sense of morality.
Apparently, I haven't made myself clear on this, and so I apologize for not making myself clear on this. If the Christian God exists, then everyone believes that he exists. That's the claim that Scripture makes. Since I'm a Christian, that's what I believe. Now, the way that I would show that is through the kind of argumentation that I've presented today, showing that if you reject that, then you reject intelligibility as well. That should answer your question if you think it through. I do believe that those Buddhists believe in the Christian concept of God, that belief is innate, and that innate enables them to reason the way that they do, to assume that there are objective moral values. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Paul Gorman. I'm a student here. And while this is a debate about the existence of God, why are we debating the existence of the specifically Christian God?
Very good question. The reason that I'm debating the existence specifically of the Christian God is because I believe in the existence of the Christian God, an infinite personal God who created us in his image. Now, the subject of the debate today was not Judaism or Islam, and I would be happy to debate that if anyone wanted to. I find problems with Judaism and Islam. For example, the Quran claims to be the inscription of an eternal book in heaven. It's the eternal speech of Allah. But it has abrogation, meaning that some of the things that it says have been replaced by later addition. The Bible, which Muslims say they accept, teaches that later revelations from God must conform with previous revelations, and the Quran claims to be continuous with the Bible and a confirmation of it. But there are clear contradictions between the two books, such as what they say about Christ's deity and his dying on the cross. Also, the Islamic doctrine of tanzih, or transcendence, taught in Surah 42:11, says that no human language can accurately describe Allah, which means that the Quran cannot be what it claims to be, a description of Allah. So it's a bit self-refuting there. Judaism in 70 AD lost its records as far as the Messiah and everything. It doesn't comport with the prophecies that were given of the Messiah before.
Hey, my name is Chris Crockett, and this is actually for Tyler. You were talking about you're using your faith in science. To use all this, how is a faith in science any more valid than a faith in Christian, in a God or religion?
That's a very good question. Thank you. The main difference between science and religion is that science, unlike religion, is self-amending. It is the prospect that the entire system is built upon. When science discovers something that is part of science turns out to be inaccurate or wrong or incomplete, we amend it. We say, well, we didn't know everything about this, or we were making a false assumption. And then we assertate the new assumption that we have come upon after finding something to be wrong. Faith does not do this. Faith is dependent on the complacency of its believers. You do not question the Bible. It is the holy book. I mean, to question the Bible is blasphemy. To question science is a process of science. And while I admit they are both acts of faith, I think that this is the defining difference between the two acts.
Hi, I'm Mark Dobie. I'm a student here. Also, this question is for Chris. You said the Quran was changed over time, right?
That's not actually what I meant by that. I'm sorry if that was unclear. Abrogations in the Quran. In other words, a supposed revelation replaces a previous revelation.
So So basically what you're saying is people put in their views and what they saw as a revelation.
No, I'm saying, for example, I think this is an example, monogamy is taught in the Quran, and then later on, it's changed to polygamy, and that's why Muhammad had more than one wife. It replaced the earlier revelation, but it's supposed to be the eternal speech of Allah.
Anyone who hasn't had a chance to ask a question yet, who would like to? Okay. One last comment.
My name is Richard Okimoto. I'm the science lab manager here. I don't have a question for either of you. I just have a comment about the appendix and vestigial organs.
Okay.
There is a function for the appendix. It has to do with the immune system and development of the immune system. I'm not real sure about the specifics of it. I can look them up if anybody's interested. But there is a function of the appendix.
Okay, thank you. Let's give a big hand of applause for Chris and Tyler. Thank you very much for taking a very difficult position. I'd like to thank CBCC's Campus Crusade for putting on this debate. Y'all have a good day.